Good morning, everyone. I'd like to call the public hearing to amend municipal planning strategy and land use bylaw and for the creation of a new tourist commercial C6 zone. The purpose of this public hearing is to provide any interested person with an opportunity to present an oral or written presentation to the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality with regard to its intention to amend its municipal planning strategy and land use bylaw, which would see the creation of a new tourist commercial C6 zone and rezone PIDs numbers 70261029, 70117817, 70177357, 70177365, 70177373, 70177381, and 70177399, located on Old Mill Lane in LaBelle, from seasonal residential R7 to tourist commercial C6. The procedure for the public hearing will be as follows. Every person will be eligible to speak, but would first be recognized by the chair and must give their name and address before commencing. I will allow a person to speak more than once, but I will give preference to those who have not previously spoken. This meeting will be conducted following parliamentary procedure. This council uses its own rules of order as well as Borono's rules of order. The floor is now open for comment, and Mr. White.
Thank you. Can everyone hear me from here? I just wanted to speak for the controversy, I guess, if you call it that. This issue is not about building cottages on cottage lots. I can build cottages on my land without a change in the zoning classification. Was able to build a cottage on their lots when they got their lots. That's not the issue. The issue is stewardship. We have some wetland. We have some land that needs to be protected. We have passed restrictive covenants and site restrictions, which will apply to this property. Under the present zoning, actually cut all the trees, excavate the land, and build a building within 7 feet. Mr. Planning can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's 7 feet from my nearest neighbor. That is wrong. That never ever should have even been in the existing zoning. All of my neighbors have got a right to a quiet enjoyment of their property. The planning department and myself, we worked on some criteria for this new zone, and we agreed on a 40-foot green area between what I want to do, my company wants to do, and the private landowners. There's four, I believe, that need to be protected because they're not now. And Chairman friend of mine, Weaver, is not here. There's a lady by the name of Kate Bartlett, who I don't know if she's here or not, but she owns on our property. And anyway, this four of them right now, developer was only interested in squeezing the big buck out of these properties. Could encroach on the people within 7 feet, as he said. I want to see this property protected. I've been there for over 40 years. We've owned that property, one company or another, of ours, for almost 50 years. It was a commercial area in the beginning. The Haynes' home was built by the developer. It was a sales office, and it was a place where people could come and have showers and do certain things while they were in the property. Mr. Eagle's home was built by the developer, and it was a sales office. 100 years ago, there was a water-powered sawmill on that property. It was restored about 45 years ago by the developer. What I have presented here that I want to do is something that I drew up 25 years ago. And we got busy and we never done it. I think I would call it the sunset of not only my business but my life. I've already beat the odds by a few years from what the man is supposed to live. My senior partner is only about 5-6 years behind me, and our junior partners are under 40. I won't be around, I don't think, to see the completion of what I would like to see happen there. And the way the world is today, I'm afraid that by the time the junior partners are in charge, maybe they won't be looking at stewardship. Maybe they'll be looking at the bottom line. Because that seems like everybody today is looking at the bottom line. I'm not sure that I should have included the mill pond in the land to have rezoned. I did that because Mr. Weaver's land bucks 100% or 80% of that area, and that would still leave somebody that could go in there after they recognize the 50-foot setback that the region has on Waldrop. They could still go in and do a lot of damage to that land up to 7 feet of Mr. Weaver's property, and anything that was done in there is going to be environmentally unfriendly. That's the key, environmentally. A number of things that I could do with that property that would protect it forever. One of the things I thought about was deeding it over to the province. Well, I'm not happy with their record. They already own too much land in Nova Scotia, and they say it's for a future use of the residents. But in my experience, the first thing the province does is there's an access road, they put a gate on it, say no admittance. And probably own 30% of Nova Scotia now. I think that's enough for them. The second option we might have is to deed it over to the region. I didn't talk to anybody about that. I'm not sure the region would want to take it over and look after it. It's an area that we would certainly be willing to explore. The third thing that we're looking at is a land trust. My estimation, that will be the best thing. That's going to require at least three people to be trustees, and it's a non-paying job. So I'm not sure how that would work out. If I could guarantee Mr. Weaver a 40-foot green area along his line, and the lady who owns the property adjacent to his that goes down to the new code, if there was somehow I could change that 7-foot distance to 40 feet, I would deed that property to somebody else. I would remove it from my request to have things rezoned up there. I think there's quite a few people here today. I recognize a lot of them that are here to object to what I want to do, but until now they didn't know what I wanted to do. So I said it has nothing to do with building cottages. Those can and someday will be built. It has to do with protecting the land. I spoke with one lady. No one called, no one asked me the details of what was happening. I was quite surprised about that. But one lady called and she had concerns. She said to me, I own land adjacent to your land, but it would be great difficulty for me to come to the public hearing. Can you tell me what you plan to do? Because I would really never want to see a marina or a boat launch there on that property. And I said, lady, that's what I don't want to see. And at our discussion and she said, thank you very much, and I don't have to come to the meeting. There will not be, I've got these covenants and restrictions open to everybody, and I thought everybody was here because of my project, and I find that there's three projects, so I gave the people a chance to come and meet us. But my intention, what I want to do is protect that land and not have any boat launches there. As a matter of fact, if you folks are interested in reasons, one of our restrictions is no motorized vehicles are allowed to be on the property at all. And no paddle boats are allowed to be launched from that site because they are already public sites that are very close to that in the trees. So my point that I want to make is I want to provide better stewardship, or at least maintain the stewardship that we have exercised there over the last 40 years. And if we can find a workable alternative to what I'm asking to have done to protect my neighbors, then I would ask the region when they discuss my application to accept or exempt the mill pond and the land around it, which is referred to in this document as Parcel C. Parcel C is an important area there, so I hope I've explained what we want to do. I don't want to build anything, even near the water. So property, the cottages that we will build eventually under the existing zoning we have to, are not even welcome up there across the road. So again, I can't emphasize more than that land needs to be protected. It needs to be protected in my great-grandchildren's time and my great-grandchildren's time with all these people here. It cannot, should not be abused. It hasn't been, but I can't speak for what happened when it's gone. So if we can get the region to be able to enforce the things that I would like to see them enforce, so there's nobody can destroy, then I'll be happy. Thank you, Your Worship.
Thank you, Mr. White. Somebody, would you give us your name and address, please?
My name's Diana Dalton. I actually live in Dartmouth, but I have owned a cottage just near here, just near this spot for over 20 years. And so I've spent my summers in that area. I want to, first of all, thank Mr. White for recognizing that the pond area is a wetland. I have submitted a written submission to council, and you may have it. So I do want to thank him for recognizing that this is a very special area. And I also want to remind council that you have a conservation zone that could be put over this land and it would address what he has asked to have. I think that one of my concerns is that the submission that he made to the council that we were given didn't contain the things that he was saying here this morning. What we were seeing was that there was going to be a snack shop, there was going to be party boats, that they're going to be obviously areas where motorized boats would have to be put in. That's what everybody hears. What he said this morning is that wouldn't happen now. So I think, frankly, your proposal that's before you has changed substantially. My concern is really this wetlands area, which is teeming with aquatic life, and it's beautiful for all of us. I mean, you can walk there any day. I saw two beavers just sitting on a log this summer. So it's used, it needs to be protected. And I would really urge council, because of what Mr. White has said, to zone that area as a conservation area. Then there couldn't be development and he wouldn't have to worry about future generations because of the zoning of the area. You have my written submission. The other area was the small piece of land which he had on Annis Lake, which I think is too small to be zoned. It doesn't fit your zoning bylaw, the waterfrontage area, or the area that it needs to be zoned. you would propose that it would be a forest commercial zone when you need 29,000 square feet, and that certainly, I don't think it's 29,000 square feet. So there were two issues with that, but the real issue I have is with that wetlands area. The beauty that it brings to us and the joy that it brings to us, but also the protection that it needs. And if Mr. Waite is happy with that, then I would urge council to look at that as a conservation zone as opposed to a residential or a tourist commercial area.
Thank you, Mr. Dalton. Is there anybody else who would like to address council on this matter?
The public hearing? Council. This is Stevens. I live in New Cove, within 500 meters of the proposed changes to the wetland areas. And I understand that this drawing that was centered along with the plan is 25 years old. Is that correct?
That's a survey plan. That's not a drawing.
No, this thing.
Oh, yes.
That's 25 years old now.
20 years old.
I'd ask you to address the chair.
I'm sorry?
I'd ask you to address the chair.
Well, I just asked a question there.
Well, that's my point.
It shows a building within several feet of the New Cove shoreline. I went over. I didn't see no trespassing signs, so I did some measurements. To move that back 50 feet from Canoe Cove and to move it up 50 feet from what we call the duck pond, I call the marsh, a very sophisticated ecosystem, I don't see any possibility of putting a building there. And as I understand some of the rhetoric here, there was to be a dock put out on Canoe Cove, which is a still water. That's another area that should be considered as conservation. To put a party boat in there to pick up rental residents, I'm guessing you'd have to put a dock out 120 feet. And that is a still water with a turtle population and many other marine species. And I would ask, it seems to me, I've been out there 24 years year-round, so I'm not a newcomer. Somewhere in the back of my mind, it seems that the provincial government already has that protected. And I think that duck pond, or whatever we want to call it, is protected as well. I'll just throw that in. The other thing I would ask is that I'm not at all familiar with council procedures, but I see December 8th we're having a public hearing, which is what we're doing now. I see that there's a council meeting, which will follow this, I expect. And then I see a week later, notice of passing. Does that mean this is a done deal now?
Sunday does not.
Okay, I'm glad to hear that. And the fact that it's the 15th of December, and the fact that it's a seasonal residential zone area, and this is being done in December, is rather unusual. There are many people away from this place that cannot be heard, cannot address their concerns. They spent a lot of money in a couple of cases in excess of $500,000 to make a decent property. They pay high taxes, and they deserve representation. I just throw that out. To me, it seems that it's very unusual that we would be doing this to a residential zone, or a seasonal residential zone area, 2 weeks before.
Mr. Stevens, we have a procedure we have to follow, and that is we receive an application from an applicant in a matter such as this, so we move it forward because the applicant has rights just as the public has rights. So we are required to move things forward by procedure, which we have done.
And I totally agree. They certainly have every right to apply for this, as we have every right
exactly
to voice our concerns.
Exactly.
A lot of people here, so I'll stop right there. But as far as I'm concerned, that should be designated as a conservation area. And as I remember, it seems to me 10 or 15 years ago, we went through this, not through council, but we checked, and that was some sort of covenant in there.
I think there's a special place up in that area. as defined under the Provincial Special Cases Act.
Yes.
I think there's some, there are rat mops up in there.
There are, yes.
And I can't remember what they are, but I think they're pennyworth of some kind.
So where does that leave us as far as development is concerned?
I'm not sure, Mr. Stevens. Is there somebody else who'd like to speak?
Yeah, I'm down. Thank you.
Is there somebody? Okay, I'm sorry. Your name and address, please.
Sorry. My name is Jackie Barkley, and I am the cottage that is adjacent to the proposed development on the east side. And I'm kind of shaking. This is really hard for me. I'm sure it is for many other people.
Take your time. We'll work with you.
When I first heard about this last Wednesday, I was angry, very, very angry. And now I'm just very, very sad. What I'm operating under, which really surprises me in the presentation of by Mr. White this morning, this is what I have. This is what was said to me by the department. And it proposes 7 building sites, and it proposes water frontage on Pond Hook and Island, and it proposes picnic, hiking, nature walks, boat and canoe rentals, snack bar, coffee shop, kayak rentals and tours, 3-day canoe trips, sports fishing, party boat trips, on lake and land barbecues, and overnight camping. So I was so upset because it didn't occur to me that that meant the conservation area. And I remain enormously confused about what actually is being proposed. I think that developers have rights. In my communications with people over the last 4 days, someone emphasized that, but they also have responsibilities to serve the community, and to serve the community that earlier developments actually built to bring us in there to be a part of a community, and now to actually transform that so dramatically is unbelievable. So a couple of things about that spot, and probably I've been there 15 years, an average of 6 months a year. I'm sorry to say I don't know all of you, but I've always been treated with enormous respect and decency, and I, as a single mom of 2 kids, could not have kept that property without the help of many of the people who are in this room and the people who've worked to help me do that. The spot at the end of Canoe Cove is so shallow that at my property, which is adjacent to the proposal, by August, I can touch the bottom. So you can imagine 50 feet farther how shallow that area is. That spot is beautiful, even with all the old mill stuff thrown around in it. It's a place that people are talking about where I sit on my dock and I watch the children and the families and people with babies and grandparents come by in their canoes, in their kayaks, in their fishing boats, those boats that don't make any noise. And they come by to look at the turtles and they come by to catch fish. And I've considered the illegal activity of charging rent at that spot to go look at the turtles. I think the reason that property's never been developed is because the parcel that's around the wetland, not a pond, around the wetland, couldn't have been bought by anybody who wanted to build a residence on it. Because it's a wetland, it's too steep, and it would have to be completely cleaned out. I think it should just be left alone. When I calmed down and I thought about it in the last couple of days, the issue of stewardship came to my mind as well. I can't afford a septic, but when my old grandparents' septic collapsed, I got a composting toilet because I couldn't afford it, but also because I fell down at the end of the cove where I was. Anything that I did needed to be as unintrusive as possible. And I realize, as a person from Halifax, who had the resources to get that cabin 15 years ago, that I own it. I own it under the rules of Queens County, but I don't really own it any more than anybody else, because the spectacular land of this county and this entire province is really by rights the land that's being shared with the Mi'kmaq and with the Acadia First Nation. And I think it behooves all of us, myself included, to remember, just to remember that, that it's shared land, even if we've created all kinds of money issues around it. About 50 friends from the city come down every summer at different times over the season and bring their children, because it is such a tranquil, quiet, sacred spot. That's my phone. I'm embarrassed. It'll stop. I don't know how to turn it off. They won't bring down the cottage.
It's always nice to get a fellow spirit.
They won't bring in the cottage because I don't have any phone or landline, or the tower service doesn't come that far. Please forgive me. And finally, I just want to say thank you to the people who set up that area. Thank you to the Hats who built the cottage that I am now in. Thank you to the Mi'kmaq who share that land with all of us in this room. And thank you for letting me speak to this.
Thank you, Ms. Bhakti. Yes, Judge Kovar.
Thank you. I'm here perhaps, or speaking right now perhaps as a friend of both sides. When I heard Mr. White speaking this morning, I heard him say he has want, his interest is the same as what I take it most of the residents to be, and that is that he doesn't want development of the wetlands. What I'm going to suggest is that, and Mr. White has agreed with me, that you withdraw, or he can withdraw, the request for commercial, tourist commercial zoning for that area, for that parcel, and replace it with an application to have that transferred into a conservation zone. And that, I think, would achieve the purpose of everybody here, to protect the wetlands and still allow Mr. White to do what he wants with his dry land property.
Just for other people's information, Judge Crawford swore me in when I became mayor in 1996. She must have done a good job, because I'm, in my own thinking, am headed in the same direction as you. And what I was going to propose, I was going to wait to see if anybody else really wanted to speak, but what I was going to propose was that we prorogue this hearing for 3 months to let staff and Mr. White work together to see if we can amend the application or refine it so that it satisfies some of the issues that have been addressed, the conservation area in particular. So if, is there anybody who would like to speak before I make the decision to prorogue the hearing and for 3 months, and then we can continue? Yes, Mr. White, I'll come back to you, because as I said at the beginning, anybody who hasn't spoken will have the opportunity first. So yes.
My name is Rebecca Chandler, and I am the daughter of and representing Jack and Pat Chandler as their own province, and I found out about this last night. We've had no time to prepare. I agree with what everyone's saying about bottom of the cove. I am the second cottage in. It's very narrow in that passageway. There's about 15 feet between the end of my dock and the dock across the lake at Conrad. So to have all of that boat traffic in there is not only going to be noise pollution for all of us who enjoy the peaceful quiet, and that's why we're there, but I've already had to replace the foot valve on my pump and go down and unplug it at least a half dozen times this season because of boat traffic in that lake. People rip through in there. My dog's almost been drowned. I've seen kids almost knocked over canoes. You put something like that in that area and it's going to affect everybody. And the same is over on Annis Lake. That lake's protected. It's spring fed. There's no gas-powered boats allowed in there. You start dragging a bunch of tourists in there, and it's going to be trash everywhere. There's going to be people ripping through those roads. It's a bad spot for them. There's all kinds of properties around that something like that could go on, and it's not needed out there.
Okay, there's, I think, here's your next man.
Yes. I'm Rhoda Haynes, and ours is the first cottage coming in on the left, which is also the little piece of land below us.
What, I'm sorry?
The parcel B.
Okay.
Be removed from the rezoning and left as it is. It's just going to create traffic there, like she said, and I strongly reinforce it because it's practically outside our back door. And I don't want to see people tracing through there. It's a very private place. That's why we moved there. It's quiet. And all the excess traffic is going to be in and out of there, and it's trash and whatnot. So that's my request. I think if that's looked after, being seen, I think most of us would be fairly happy.
So would you be supportive then of the suggestion that I was making that we prorogue this hearing? By that I just mean, I don't want to go into to adjourn the hearing. I have to go all through the procedure of setting up a new one. If we prorogue it, we just really stop it and then start it up again when the parties have had a chance, when staff have had a chance to look through, Mr. White has had a chance to react to your concerns, to see if we can come back with within 3 months with a package that is more acceptable to everybody. Is that...
Can I speak?
No, Mr. Stevens, no. We've got two other people ahead of you. Would that be agreeable to you, Ms. Haynes, that proroguing, so we can work out those kinds of details?
Well, that would still put the meeting in the middle of the winter, where we wouldn't be able to have a lot of cottagers. Some of them don't even know about it.
We could take that, why don't we prorogue it until May? Now, there's some people who haven't spoken. So you were trying to catch my attention?
I was. I'm in, I live on Forest Point Loop, which is just around the corner. I fully agree with your proposal. The one thing I would ask, and I was really surprised today, that the information that was sent to me as well as everyone else was extremely different than the way that Mr. White actually proposed it today. So what I would ask is that when the proposal is submitted to us next time, can we be very clear on what it is that's going to happen to that area so that when we come back, we can have a better conversation about what really needs to happen in that area.
We'll certainly work towards that end. Is there anybody else who has not spoken? You have not spoken, ma'am.
Yes, I was going to say the same thing as Ian Clinton. My understanding of Western was four cottages down from the development by Parcel B. And even from when Mr. White was speaking, I'm unclear as in the conservation area, and if said, as Mr. Clinton asked, if it was sent out clearer. Because I don't know if he just wants to do Parcel C or Parcel B. And Parcel B is the nightmare that I see.
And that was raised earlier, yes.
Excuse me. Because it is part of the development. And from where I've worked 25 years with the government, if it is developed, it's always easier to ask forgiveness than permission. I've seen many court cases where developers come in, destroy the property, and then the environment sweeps in and gives them a fine. So half the time they don't even pay the fine. And then they get what they want in the end. So there's no benefit for the community going down, and the developer gets what he wants. So I would like to know if, when the proposal's done, if it's very clear, as Mr. Flynn asked, if it's parcel C and parcel B for a conservative. And if not, if there's the opportunity to buy parcel B.
Mr. White, you want to get in here, sorry again.
First of all, I just wanted to say that I agree fully on your idea of parochial hearing. 3 months, I was happy with it. I was only expect longer, but they have to stop this project in the spring, but that's fine. I want my neighbors to be reasonably happy as we can in life, and I want them to understand the problem with you. I think some of them maybe wasn't listening when I suggested to you and council that I would be open to any suggestion or any avenue that you might propose that would ensure that that area remained protected long after I'm gone. One of the things I thought I had made very, very clear. I'm certainly in agreement with what you suggested. And I would just like to add that some of the things that were read off in the publication that was sent out region, I believe, I anticipate, I think that they are what the guidelines that he has allowed in that particular zone. I didn't hear anything that I asked for in there. I certainly don't want anything down there. My idea was to not have anything down there on the water, no docks, no boat launches, no nothing, but I guess I didn't make that clear. Michael. I won't take any more time. I'm pleased that we've got this far at this stage. So we work with Mr. McLeod and the council try to get that land protected for us. All I want is that nobody can destroy that land. It's not big enough for a marina. It's not for medicinal water in the bay. Right? God, I never ever in any proposal I made to the county suggested that we were going to have power boats there and paddy boats. Two paddy boats in that cove at one time is going to have a collision. thank you.
Thank you very much. Just before I prorogue, is there any member of council who would like to address this, or are you happy with where we're heading to prorogue just to the second council meeting in May?
Could I just make one clarification? As someone that has been on Lake Annas for 45 years, it's a grave misconception that lake is legally protected. It is only through the goodness of your covenants and people like me that do not have a covenant that there are no, and Bruce, that there are no power boats on that lake. So you may wish in the future to fix that. But there is no legal documentation. The government does not recognize that as a non-powered lake. Anyways.
Do you have additional information to add, Councilor?
Yes, I just want to thank Mr. White and the cottage owners for coming to us. They will be possible in the future, and I appreciate you all coming today. And Mr. White, thank you very much. And the cottage owners.
Okay. Mr. Stevens, do you have something new to add?
I have just one request, Your Honor. This is a seasonal residential area. I would ask that you prorogue until the middle of June.
No, but it'll be the second council meeting in May. There's a reason for that.
Okay, that eliminates any chance for the summer residents to their quarries and so on at rest. And that's why I ask for this.
Okay, thank you. Ms. McLeod, Councilor McLeod.
Well, I'd like to say that I'm pleased that the decision will be described as you intended, to give every landowner an opportunity to be heard and for clarification of an application that really came before us with the information provided by the proponent for the applicant. And I do believe that Mr. White is sincere in his intention to preserve or protect land that is very sensitive in the area, and keeping in mind that he does have a business to operate and that there is economic opportunities in that area. I because of this process this morning, and this is the procedure we always take when we planning advisory committee makes a recommendation to council and they make a recommendation to have a public hearing, there is an opportunity in the future for council to consider having public information sessions prior to public hearings. It does work in some jurisdictions in the region, in the province, and I think McClellan knows that. Halifax often do that, and the Halifax municipality will hold public information sessions prior to public hearings being held so that information can be disclosed and second thoughts can be given to applications, therefore preventing a public hearing that then goes has to go back and review what they intend to do.
Thank you, Councillor. Sorry, I'm having hearing aid problems. Okay.
So could we consider that at some point in the future?
Well, this is not during this public hearing.
I know,
no, we cannot.
I know,
but we'll do it at
a
future
thought I'd like the people to understand.
I'd like to thank everybody for coming. There's some suggestion, and I have had the odd telephone call on this issue, that this was a railroad job. It certainly is not. I think you heard. We hope to give a balanced hearing from the proponent, from people who are concerned. That's why we have public hearings, and so we're very grateful that you came and made sure that everybody is aware of your concerns. Mr. McLeod, do you have anything you would like to add?
I think that's good. We will certainly work with the applicant and based on comments that we've received today, try to come to a successful resolution to this application. So.
And just before I close with a prorogation, for the record, we received 16 written submissions. 11 of them came in on before the deadline. I'll pass those to the clerk so that they will be entered on the record as well. And if there are no further comments, this hearing is prorogued until the second council meeting in May. That's the fourth Tuesday in May. Thank you all very much. Let's take...